I'm Andrew Faust, here with Permaculture Podcasts at the Center for Bioregional Living. It was a relatively quiet evening here, and I thought I'd take the plunge into doing a broadcast from the porch. So here we are in the midst of a continuing, ongoing pandemic. Civilization brought to its knees, still play acting. And people, I see, post things like, what would you do differently if you knew about the virus and the pandemic? And, you know, the answer is not much. A lot of the things that we've been doing all along have made sense whether there's a pandemic or not, and have made a whole lot more sense when a pandemic happens than when people are still able to support the fantasy land notion that the present economy is anything worth participating in and contributing to, more importantly. You know, to me, some of the things I'd like to talk with you about in the present times, which is not something that I've been feeling really inclined like I had a lot to share. That's why I haven't done a podcast in a while. And I'll be honest, it's because I've been in a real mode of survival. You know, I haven't had a lot of inspiration to share with you all as my audience and listeners. I've been, you know, in the trenches of life's slings and arrows. Been feeling my physical frailties. Broke some toes, which has set me back for months in a way that's been, I'll be very honest, quite challenging. And I'm still healing from physically and psychologically. You know, wanting to keep up with life's demands in a time when I have family, property, a business. And what I'll say about that is business is good. A lot of demand. A lot of people in times of need come to their senses in terms of what makes sense, right? What makes sense. Not just what makes dollars and cents. You know, the market-driven versions of what it is that we're going to see are ultimately not much. And if we want something more, it's not going to come from purely market-driven phenomenon. And what I mean by that is, we need to have a collective vision that's a deeper vision that's about holding each other up, supporting one another. You know, I've been down in Ellenville here silently, vocally in the chanting, participating in Black Lives Matter marches, very important solidarity work. I will say, not a lot of white guys showing their solidarity, which is interesting in the microcosm here. I'm sure different in different places. However, interestingly true that in Ellenville, in particular, of the people who are there who are white women, and of them, a lot of women who have ethnic lineage in some part of their parentage, I'll say. And, you know, it's interesting, this whole idea of whether or not you identify as somebody who rallies around a cause. what's happening with Black Lives Matter in this country right now is very important for people from all sectors to come together around, because it's about supporting people who are not supported and recognizing and acknowledging that as a culture and a society, and further than not supported, exploited and oppressed. The very essence of what those words mean. And I do see a lack of white privileged males having much to offer in terms of supporting and really making it clear that Black people in the United States have been abused, and that we as a society have a lot of not even latent white supremacy that we allow to continue on our watch, and that especially as white privileged males, we have a responsibility to say that is wrong and shall not be allowed to continue, and that we are behind anyone who wants to rally to end this mythology of white superiority and to bring about a new age where we recognize all of our fellow human beings on this planet as people who we care and offer unconditional love and support for throughout their entire lives on this planet. And so permaculture is about erasing the myth of scarcity and replacing it with the truth of abundance. We owe that to each other, the recognition that there is, in fact, much more than enough to go around for all. And that as long as any fellow human being is bereft, we are all bereft. And that caring for each other means caring for the planet and for future generations and what their inheritance will be. And what that means is creating landscapes, creating economies, creating places for people to live and to continue to thrive in and prosper for many generations to come. These are places that are held by ecologically complex and mature communities of plants and animals created by people for people. A human-constructed ecology outproduces and outperforms any wild ecology in terms of yields that benefit human needs. And in order for us to tap into that power, the powerhouse of recombinant ecological landscapes that are created by people and for people, we need to protect those plantings while providing a harvest that is reasonable and restorative in its methods. And this is a fairly straightforward task, especially here in the northeastern United States, where forests are continuing to grow and get cut down and regrow. And when they cut them down and they're regrowing, we have an opportunity to replant them with some astounding varieties of nut trees that I've had the unique pleasure of standing under the genetic opportunity that excites me to share with you, which is this planting out of a future landscape that continues to increase in its yields for many, many generations to come. The harvests, and those harvests are multifaceted: beauty, flood mitigation, as well as building materials, fuel wood, nuts for eating, forage for livestock, fibers, a whole array of economic contributions coming from these polyculture perennial forest garden landscapes that we plant out in the wake of human deforestation as we reforest the places that we call home. We do so with a very thoughtful, informed, and multifaceted plant mosaic. One that would never occur naturally. No, that's important to recognize. This would not occur naturally. And permaculture, I don't think, makes any bones about that, nor should it. Because one of the things that's important for us to embrace, recognize, and walk into is our power to create totally novel ecosystems. And to, in fact, create entire landscapes that would have never existed without our thoughtful, intentional, and creative contribution. Right now, we live in landscapes that have had an accidental tourist gobbling up what it could from these places that we reside in previous generations, and leaving us with unthoughtful, volunteering mosaics of ecologies that are sort of scrappy vestiges of a much more robust and intact ecosystem that was here, say, 500 years ago in North America, where I'm broadcasting from, here in, let's call it, the New England region, where pre-colonial contact American Indians were thoughtfully and intentionally managing the landscape to increase the occurrence of wild edibles and nut trees, as well as the health of them in terms of protections from blights by intentional understory burns, which have been shown to significantly put in check butternut blight and other problems for nuts, come from a overly cluttered understory. And so 500 years ago in the North American continent, in this part of the world, we had a culture that participated with the ecology in an intentional way that was increasing the occurrence of an array of plants and animals, wild animals that were being purposefully selected for by the way the landscape was being managed. And there's some definite analogs here that we want to hearken back to when we think about our opportunity today. And that is to bring back landscapes that are as majestic, as complex, as the American Indians who lived here were nurturing and gardening from the wild ecologies through natural selection processes, meaning they were increasing certain species by their management methods, by how they burned, when they burned, what they cut down, where they cut it down, to increase nut trees, to increase chestnuts, blueberries, the availability and the way to harvest animals like the white-tailed deer and the eastern bison and the haddock and the salmon. All of these were part of a management of the landscape that was broad scale. And permaculture is suggesting something similar, along with, added to it, the opportunity to now plant out all kinds of things that weren't naturally here that we can introduce that provide bigger nuts, easier to crack, easier to harvest, higher BTU firewoods, more rot-resistant woods, and interplant them with many of these wild species that we also know are beneficial to many of the fish and aquatic organisms that live in streams. And as we plant out these polyculture perennial forest garden ecosystems, we begin to create a new economy to supplant this dependence upon a system that, no matter what time or place you point a finger at it, is a flim-flam show waiting to go up at the drop of a hat when something glitches with the funny money, hyperextended, long-distance transportation, global import-export economy that makes it possible for us to have dinner on our plates, clothes on our back, heat in our homes, and lights on at night. I am firmly in alignment with the viewpoint that we can have a much more resilient and ethical way to have our lights on at night, have dinner on our plates, clothes on our back, and heat in the wintertime than needing to be depending upon a long-distance transportation, hyper-extended global import-export economy to achieve those things. And how we go about doing that is localizing, regionalizing, collaborating, and finding solidarity with our fellow human beings all around this planet to claim our autonomy and our integrity as a people through our recognition that we have the power, we have the keys to our own salvation. And where that comes from is through recognizing our interdependency, our interrelatedness, and our capacity to collaborate and build a better world today through providing more of what it is that we need from our own hands, from our own sweat and our own efforts together. So I look forward to hearing from you and your thoughts on this broadcast, and in any way helping with projects where you want to bring food and autonomy to populations that you're close to. Andrew Faust, Center for Bioregional Living, Planet Earth, another day, another sunrise. I look forward to connecting with you soon.